Okay.
All right, I'd like to call the August meeting of the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee to order. And to begin with, I would like to entertain a motion for approval of the July 7th, 2022 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
All right, so move, was that Lopez, second by Hansett. Any discussion on the minutes? All right, all those in favor of approving the July 7th, 2022 meeting minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? It is unanimous. All right, before we get into resolutions, Sheriff Figueroa has asked to introduce or to share an update on our chief investigator. And I thought that would be a great way to get things rolling. So Sheriff Figueroa, if you want to take it from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. One of the things that we worked on the last 2 years regarding to professional policing and the Criminal Justice Task Force was looking at a way of showing more transparency within an organization like the Sheriff's Office. One of the recommendations that were submitted by the Criminal Justice Task Force was that of getting a chief investigator of professional standards. So what we did here this year with the help of the legislature and the county was establish an entirely new division. And shortly, I'm going to introduce you to that new chief investigator. And he's going to let you know what it is his responsibilities are in this office. This is the first time in the history of the Sheriff's Office that we will have a professional standards division that's standalone and not associated or affiliated unions. And I think it's a great segue into the future of policing. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ulster County Sheriff's first chief investigator of professional standards. Some of you may know him, but if you don't, he's going to introduce himself to you. John Luke Mason, who's over my left shoulder here. Chief, come on up.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nancy, I remember you from the DA's office. I'm Luke Mason, and just to tell you what my responsibilities are in this new position as chief investigator is investigating internal and external investigations, complaints from civilians, and internal complaints from officers and deputies, correction officers within the sheriff's office. In charge of FOIL requests, 50A material, substance abuse, testing, background checks, training into the areas of that we find trends in these complaints and misconduct that we are investigating. Recruitment and retention. I believe, am I missing anything else there,
Sheriff? EEOC.
EEOC and the Equal Assistance Programs for Employment Assistance Programs, for people within the office and the county.
So those last two for a second, if I may, those were actually not just, and I'm glad that he said that, not just for the Sheriff's Office, but all first responders in the county. So equal employment and opportunity and compliance, mediation will be done by a certified individual from our office for those that require or need it. It's also in compliance with the county's policy, as well as employee assistance and officer wellness. And we know how many times hurt people, and the things that law enforcement sees is not the normal thing that most people see. So Luke is going to be in charge of that, those individuals that are going to be trained up to go out and get folks help.
Part of that is with a team, we have two part-time employees that have been trained in equal opportunity training, certified within the county to look into that. We have another part-time former New York State police officer who will also conduct these IA investigations. I believe we'll have a detective sergeant supervising these individuals. So we have a pretty good team built up to conduct these investigations and complaints that come into the county. bit who I am. Nancy knows a little bit. I am a former ADA here in Ulster County. I was an assistant district attorney for approximately two years here, working in the narco unit. Before that, I was in Queens for approximately 7 years as an ADA. I was part of the Organized Crime and Rackets Bureau. I do have experience in investigations of organized crime families and street gangs and wiretap investigations. Before that, I am a veteran. I was a Navy veteran for approximately 7 years, a corpsman, SEAL medic. So I believe I hold or have a kind of a good perspective of the different things out there to look at and an objective view, maybe what this office was looking to have conduct these investigations.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. Does anyone on the committee, we have a couple minutes, we can ask some questions. Does anyone on the committee have any questions?
Just welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'll ask a question. What is the best way for folks that might want to discuss any of those topics, whether it's some member of the public or even someone internal, you know, in the Ulster County first responder world, what is the best way to reach out to you?
Sure, if you can reach me directly at my line as soon as that frankly gets set up, you can reach me or the office of confidential secretary, I believe. The sheriff as well. His door is always open, but my door is always open as well.
The sheriff's app, there's a section there for compliance and complaints, and they will go directly to this guy back here. He's going to get them directly. So if you download the sheriff's app, there's a section that says compliments and concerns. You can easily reach out that way. There's also a contactless contact us that we're going to update through the app for the new division. He started a little over a week ago. So we got to get him trained up, send him to school, and hopefully he'll be ready to roll and the office will be up and running by January 1st.
Okay, great. And this information will be also publicized on the website and in general will be available and maybe some social media just so that we can introduce them to the community.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else have anything they want to add or ask? Okay. Well, with that, we can jump into resolutions. Our first resolution tonight is resolution number 189, establishing a policy prohibiting the housing of incarcerated individuals transferred from facilities outside of Ulster County, the No More Incarceration for Profit policy. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
I've got a motion from Heppner. Can I have a second? Second from Hewitt. I have not heard from the sponsor. I don't know, Sheriff Figueroa, if you've had any further conversations.
Yes, I had a conversation with legislator Maloney, and we discussed more of a reporting nature to an oversight, the public safety committee regarding how many board-ins are at the jail. We're still talking to figure out how that's going to get written out. At some point, we're going to have another meeting, and I think we're obviously going to have you there, Mr. Chair, and then we'll discuss the best route forward. As you know, I have some reservations regarding the operational control of this office, so that still has to be retained by the elected sheriff, but I'm not opposed to advising the oversight regarding how many board-ins we have. We don't take any federal board-ins. We don't have the staffing levels to do that. This facility was initially built to do that. But our issues right now are more of the staffing level issues with so many open positions and the lack of folks. We are now provisionally hiring folks because we have exhausted the list. And for the last 2 to 3 years, no one's taken or has interest in this line of work. So it's that's why John Mason is also on board because he's going to put a plan together along with the undersheriff for retention and recruitment to members in this office.
Okay, great. I think I would love to, I'll follow up with you about this, but if we can schedule that meeting before the next resolution deadline, I think it would be great. Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, I want to thank the sheriff for engaging the legislature in this discussion, but also I'll make a motion to postpone.
All right, anyone would like to second that?
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion to postpone? So that was a motion from Heppner, second by Hewitt. We'll call the question. All those in favor of postponing resolution number 189? Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Resolution 189 is postponed. Our next resolution, resolution 424, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant contract with the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault through the Department of Probation. Can I have a motion to discuss?
So moved.
I've got a motion from Heppner and a second I heard, but I couldn't catch who it was.
Dina.
Great, second from Hansett. All right, before we go into discussion, I would like to let Director Schmidt give us some background on this. I know this is a very small amount of money, if it's the one that I'm thinking of, but it still makes an impact, and we'd love to hear about that.
Sure. So the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault had put out an offer of additional funding. They're recognizing that there needs to be some additional funding to partly for some of the agencies who needed to increase salaries to meet the need. We applied for the funds and are using it just to, it supplements the salary of our Enough is Enough counselor who is at the colleges, at the two colleges, providing response to sexual assaults on the campuses and prevention work at the campuses. And that the other grant had almost fully funded the program, but was, you know, with the CSEA increases, there started to be a gap. So this helps us fulfill that gap so that there's less county funding. You know, there's a minimal amount.
Great. Anyone have any questions? All right, if there's no questions or further discussion, I'll call the question on resolution number 424. All those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstaining? It is unanimous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, resolution number 425, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Office of Emergency Management to develop a multi-jurisdictional, multi-hazard mitigation plan, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
Motion from Hansik, second from Heppner. All right, and before we jump into discussion, I would love to give Director Erickson an opportunity to frame the background of where we're at with this.
Thank you, sir. So currently, we do have a hazard, multi-jurisdiction hazard mitigation plan in place. It's been in place since 2009. We update this every 5 years. We are required to have this plan in place. Towns are and villages are required to have them as well. What most of those localities do is they adopt into our plan. They're allowed to do that. And basically what it does, it's there to identify and reduce the vulnerability to hazards. It helps us, we work together to recognize them, put a plan in place to mitigate them. And then as part of the plan, you're eligible for federal funding, and it's usually passed through the state. So every 5 years since 2009, we've been able to get a grant to help us put together this plan. It's currently on our site, last updated in 2017. It's a almost 300-page document. 17 of the localities are currently part of the 17 of 24 localities are part of the county plan. So we're in the update process. You know, we've been doing the background Because no matter what, we have to have the plan in place. So, you know, we're working through the process, you know, as we put this resolution forward to you, as we go through the budget process, RFP process, you know, we started those conversations with the jurisdiction to say, start identifying, you know, the hazards within your township, your villages, and so on. You know, have you addressed any of the hazards that you identified in the last plan? Have you made any advancements on those projects and programs? So this grant would help us hire a firm to help us work on this plan, do a lot of the coordination and the writing of the plan itself.
Great, thank you. Any questions from the committee? Legislator Hansett?
It just says in here that, so this is for the 2023 budget, correct?
So we were awarded the grant this year. We didn't have the funding in the budget for this year. We did budget it for 2023. Okay. So that's why it's written that way in the resolution. Okay.
Thank you.
Got it. That was going to be my question as well. I would, if it's possible, I would be curious to see prior iterations of the plan. Is that something that's publicly available?
Yes, it's on our website.
Okay.
I can send you the link.
That'd be great. If you could send that, and then Nettie, if you could share that with the committee, I think that would be really good. Mm-hmm. I do really want us to think about these types of hazards holistically, particularly because we become advocates for any projects that might flow through other committees to help deal with some of these issues. You know, if there's a culvert that needs to be replaced, that's going to be going through DPW, it's going to be going through Ways and Means. I really want us on this committee to take responsibility for understanding the kinds of hazards that this county faces.
So what I actually do is we put together an informational update sheet that we're going to be sending out to all the jurisdictions. I'll send that has the link for the plan in it. And it has just a couple questions about question and answer of what the plan is, what does it mean for the municipality, what the municipality needs to know. It asks them to complete a quick 1-minute survey, and then a couple different links like FEMA links and stuff like that. So I'll send that PDF, and that should have more than what you're asking for.
Great, I appreciate that. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee or points of discussion? All right, if there's no further questions, I will call the question on resolution 425. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, resolution 425 is adopted unanimously. Resolution number 426, approving the execution of a contract for $120,284 entered into by the county with the New York State Sheriff's Association through the Ulster County Sheriff. Can I have a motion to discuss? All right, motion from Deputy Chair Hansett. Can I have a second?
Second.
All right, second from Legislator Lopez. All right, and I would love to hand it off to Sheriff Figueroa before we discuss to give us some background on these funds flowing in for COVID.
So this was a federal grant. At first, it only targeted state facilities, and the New York State Sheriff's Association went to Albany and says, hey, what about the county jails? We've been dealing with COVID just like everybody else has. So this was the deal that was made with the state and the federal government, that the local sheriffs and the county jails would also get part of that grant. So the portion for Ulster County is about $120,000. It's a reimbursable, and it's really for equipment to detect, COVID, the clean and sanitize by equipment to sanitize a confined location like the jail. Even in the middle of the wintertime here, when there's flu, one person gets it and it just spreads so quickly. So this is really, it's great for us. It's money that we can definitely use to purchase the equipment to detect, bacteria. And of course, presently we have an issue regarding COVID. We had a small outbreak last week. And so we're still, you know, when you have visitations again that are open, you're going to run into this. So I'm looking forward to getting this equipment.
Great. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? I have a question. How did they determine the allocation between all the counties?
It was based on the number of individuals that you had in your facility and your protocols that were in place. We were the first jail in the Hudson Valley, one of the first to shut down when there was one case here in Ulster County. We decided to immediately shut down visits and shut down programs. And we did the mask, got the you know, temperature meters throughout in it, coming in and out of the jail. And we went out and got equipment to spray and clean and disinfect, you know, the different areas of the facility. So it's based on the number of inmates or incarcerated individuals that you have in your facility and how many cases you had. We were lucky the first year and a half, we didn't have anything. And then the second phase of that, well, that's when it started to hit. So either way, I'm happy to get $120,000 from the state to basically combat the spread of the virus.
So the purchases that you made previously, are those, can you reimburse for those, or is this only going forward?
No, only going forward.
Sorry to just jump in there. Does anyone have any questions? Is there like a list of things that you can buy that, you know?
There is, yeah. and they have to certify it. It's part of a overall program that a lot of correctional facilities in the state are using.
And do you, considering that we already bought a lot of this equipment, do you anticipate us needing, you know, this is being able to spend the full amount basically?
So everyone used different equipment. The equipment that they have were the ones that were really proven to work. For example, there was a meter that they had to detect the cleanliness of a toilet, for example. And ironically, the toilet facilities that the incarcerated individuals were using were actually cleaner than the folks, the correction staff was using. So we had to make sure that we cleaned that facility, those areas a little bit more. So it's detection equipment. It's about the HEPA filters in our system here. And so those are the things that it's going to focus on.
Great. Any further discussion from folks on the committee? All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I'll call the question on resolution number 426. All those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion 426 is approved. Resolution number 427, approving the execution of a contract for $60,333 entered into by the county with Virtra Inc. through the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss? Motion from Deputy Chair Hansik. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second from Legislator Hewitt. All right. So again, I will pass it to you, Sheriff Figueroa, and I know that we also have a video which Nettie has queued up, which we will play whenever you give us the signal.
Nettie, whenever you're ready, and I'll talk afterwards. It's 3 minutes and 53 seconds, but I think you could move it up a little bit because the introduction is like maybe 10 seconds or something like that. Thank you.
Brand new training that all of our law enforcement officers will be
getting. Cutting edge training. This gives them the full encompassing training that they're going to need.
The most advanced training simulators in the country called the Virtra System.
They're a company focused on virtual, judgmental, and de-escalation training for law enforcement.
De-escalation will be a top priority.
Protesting police-involved shootings was not reducing tensions between cops and communities.
Anytime we can use a tool like this to get better outcomes for our community and ultimately keep people safer, that's the ultimate goal.
You have community or communities, you have law enforcement, and I see companies like Virtra as a linking element between here and there a lot of times, or bridge of sorts.
It's about the officers feeling based on current events and what's going on in the country over the last 3 to 4 to 5 years with all the shootings. A lot of the departments are put under a lot of political pressure. And so the officers came to their representatives, which are their union reps, saying, hey, we chose this position, we chose this job, but we need better training. Because if you have an insecure, untrained officer, he or she is going to make a lot more mistakes.
You're just trying to go, well, what's the best course I should take here? Whereas once you've experienced this, you can pull this out now, right? And by providing these kind of things, now we have something that we can recall from our memory.
Police officers have to be jacks of all trades. That's what the societal expectations are with cops. And they want police officers to be able to respond accurately and appropriately to given scenarios. It's a tall order, but that's what the expectations are.
Legislators can do a lot of things in their states. Certainly they can heighten the awareness of our products, making it known that this capability is now available. Legislators can support adding the equipment necessary to train police officers to the very highest standards.
We are not training our officers enough. We hold our officers at a very high standard, which we should. But if we're going to hold these officers at a very high standard, we need to provide them the tools and the training.
We're trying to get some continuity across the board and saying, look, we're all trying to work together to kind of solve a problem here and kind of make things and relations a little bit better between law enforcement and the various communities they serve.
I think what it takes is a person saying, enough is enough. I will only approve the highest quality training for officers because the public expects it and the officers deserve it. I think it takes someone of courage to say what we have done to date is not enough.
Especially in the day and age we live in law enforcement nowadays, everything is hypercritical and we are looked at so heavily by the press, the police brass, the politicians in the city, the media, the activist groups that are out there. Cops are getting scrutinized on 5 different levels all the time now, put under the microscope. So if you can give them a tool that will help them be more successful, I really don't know how you could sit there, even as a rank and file guy or gal, and go, well, you know, I don't think we should be doing this.
VIRCHA's mission is to improve and save lives through the development, deployment, and support of the world's finest judgmental use of force and marksmanship training simulator.
Well, thank you, Natty. I really appreciate that. I wanted to put that out there because it's extremely important for folks to understand. I actually budgeted $15,000 this year to lease the simulator, but it's a minimum 3-year lease. And because of that, it was just cheaper to purchase it. So we had it within our operating budget to do that. And I spoke to the county and this is what we came up with and is to purchase one. And what's unique about this particular program is that depending on what the officer says, it changes scenarios as it goes. And that's a great way to learn. So if you say the wrong thing because you're not understanding the actual situation, then you get to learn that in a program like this. Use of force, we train twice a year, but to have this this tool is even better. It really puts it in the forefront of these officers, these young officers, thinking what they need to do to de-escalate a situation. It also identifies folks that have mental health issues. And there's numerous scenarios for that. We've had seen shootings in houses of worship throughout our nation. We've seen school shootings, mall shootings. All these scenarios can be played out using this simulator. And the most important thing out of this is that we're starting a citizen officer interaction, similar to the citizen officer training that we did last year after the murder of George Floyd with all the members of our office. What's great about the Citizen Officer Academy is that there's going to be a board of 6 members, 3 law enforcement, and 3 of the folks throughout our county that have had issues with law enforcement to sit down and put a program and a curriculum together, hopefully this fall, because that's what the target date is. And then again, next year, And I actually put money in the budget for next year so they can have a budget to do this. But this tool right here is also part of that. So not only can the civilians out there that don't understand the work that we do can see what we do and the reactions that we have and why we do the things that we do, at the same time, we can listen to the way they feel about us and what they bring to the table, whether it's a different instructor or a different way they want us to train or a specific topic that we need to discuss that's local to us. And that's why I believe that this is an extremely important tool. Again, it's within our operating budget. I did have, like I said earlier, about the $15,000 that I put in the budget for this year that was approved last year. And so that's why this is in front of you today. And I hope that you're with me on this, this important tool that we need.
Thank you, Sheriff. If it's all right, I'd like to put you on the spot a little bit further to talk about the different levels and why this is the right level for us, because I know there are a couple of different products and we had a couple of legislators have Googled the company and have seen some pretty impressive things, but I know there's different levels for what we're getting.
So we got the cheapest model because that's all I could afford in my operating budget. And obviously if we can get the middle one, which I emailed the chair and the vice chair earlier today, so they can look at the numbers, that would be great. Remember, this is not just for the members of this office, but it's for the civilians that want to partake in this program and every local law enforcement entity and first responder in this county. And I invite members of the legislature and of course, Nancy, probation and parole, because they have a very dangerous job. They have to go in and knock on the doors and check on folks. But this is for every first responder, law enforcement entity in the county. And the first folks that I want to sit through the demonstration, obviously, are members from the legislature. So you can see for yourself how these different scenarios, depending on what the officer says, that situation changes. The person that's sitting behind that laptop computer with the scenarios can actually change the outcome depending on what the officers say and do. And it's a simulated weapon, a simulated taser, and there are different techniques that you learn as you go through, and it's a progressive program that they put together. It's really something that you have to see.
So I'd like to see if anyone has any questions, and then I do want to get into more of a conversation about the product itself. But does anyone have any general questions about the program? So I'll just say, I think this is very important. And I think we can see in our society, the larger society around us, so many instances where this type of training comes into play. So protecting civilians that are experiencing an active shooter, obviously that's a huge, huge, huge priority. And I think every community that has faced that horrible experience probably was not much different than our community prior to that experience, thinking it could never happen there. And so anything that we can do to prevent that, and then on the other side, you know, to be able to train our officers to engage with folks that are handling that are themselves dealing with, you know, whatever pressures and challenges, and being able to de-escalate things. We've also seen in our communities, larger communities, how significant those events can unfold and how important de-escalation is. So those two things are so, 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 so critical. And I'm really excited that we're talking about this. I'm curious if you can describe the different levels, right? We've got the lowest one that we're looking at here. There's a step up and then there's a higher step up from there. And I'll just share candidly that a few of us have discussed whether we should be investing in this further, because it's such a critical training area.
And thank you again, Chairman. Yes, there are three levels. We bought the smallest version because of the cost. The middle version, which I emailed, is actually great. It's actually walking into a room. It's completely surround. The first one is more portable, so we can take that, for example, to a house of worship and and be able to train anyone that has an issue when they're training in their house of worship or a school or a mall. And what's unique about this, you can actually videotape any building and put that scenario in, put those actors into that building. So you're familiar with the surroundings. You see what's going on. The higher end model obviously makes it even more realistic. And that's why it costs more money. But think about the liabilities that we're gonna save if officers make the right decisions versus the wrong decision because they weren't trained properly. It's gonna save the taxpayer in the long run so much more money. I knock on wood every day that we don't have any major issues like they like happen around the country. It's up to us to make sure that what happens in the rest of the country doesn't, that's negative, that's bad, as a you know, a bad result, doesn't happen here. And every time that happens, we talk about it the very next day with the rank and file to make sure that that doesn't happen here. This tool will be so valuable for the members of law enforcement, probation, and of course, any first responder in the county, because they all train here at the law enforcement center. But to me, the other important thing is our civilian, the people that we work for, and how they can understand the training that they do and the last second decisions that you have to make. It's not like being an accountant where you can race a number and change a number to get the numbers that you want. You know, once you pull that trigger, that it's gone, it's downrange, and there's not much that you can do. You have to be able to make that right decision in that split second time. And that's why this is such a valuable tool.
Can you share what the price difference, and I'll just to be really direct, that, sure. You know, this is a single screen. The version, you know, one of the features I think that kind of caught the eye of some of my colleagues of the higher end version is that it's actually a multi-screen thing that has you in really in three dimensions in space, right? Your screens all around you, and you're able to handle things coming at you from all directions. The it cost of that is yes, quite a bit more.
So the second, the medium level is $195,000, and the very high end, which you can't really move around, has to kind of stay in one area. That one is close to $300,000. But that's not anything compared to the multi-million-dollar lawsuits that we're going to get if we don't train our officers the right way. And I think it's a tremendously important investment. It's great to have the portability of the smaller one to go into different areas when we have to train. But ultimately, I wish that we can get that middle, the middle one if possible. But we can live with what we have right now. But definitely the middle version would be great if that's something that we can think about in the future getting.
If we were to purchase this, that would... Would that be, are we purchasing some of the things that would be used on the middle version so that we would actually not be having to purchase everything all over again? Maybe that cost would come down a little bit.
The cost would come down, but I think it's just like a car. Once you buy it, the price goes down the minute it comes out. But yes, there is a bit of a rebate if we trade it in. But I'll find what that number is.
Okay. Any questions first? I'll take from the committee, and then we'll go to Deputy Exec Kelly. Any questions or points of discussion from the committee? Yep, Deputy Chair Hansett.
So before I open it and ask our committee, Chair Figueroa, at this point, would you want the one that is portable because that would meet your needs right now, or do you think we should have the discussion of going to the next level?
Obviously, if we can afford the next level one, I'd love to have that. But I know that within my operating budget this year, that's not tenable. What is interesting is that if we do get the bigger model, we can still use that smaller model when we go out to schools and houses of worship and either other entities like probation or parole or even, at the mall, for example. We need to train mall security that's portable. The ultimate goal here is to get all of our folks trained, and of course, get the Citizen Officer Academy up and running, because that's really a huge part of this as well. And it was part of our criminal justice reform task force, some of the things that was on there that we wanted to accomplish this year. Again, I budgeted $15,000, but the price went up from last year to this year for obvious reasons, with unable to get certain components throughout the world these days. And it takes a long time for our process to purchase something like this. It takes time. It went out for bid. Initially, we thought it was sole source, but the county said, no, we have to go out for bid. So we did. And they were the only ones that submitted a bid.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if we can discuss it or want to discuss it, but I don't think that we should do the minimum for our first responders. I think we can do better than that. And the difference in the price isn't that much. That could make a huge difference to our employees and to the public. So I don't know if we can talk about it or how we should move forward with it.
Well, this might be a good segue to pull in Deputy Executive Kelly, who does come from a budget background.
Yes, he does.
You know, I was hoping to come in on the tech side today, Chair, but all right. So I guess a few points here is how much is more? I guess that, like that, to me, that's just the fundamental question is whatever we're going to appropriate is going to have to be pulled from fund balance, which is robust. I'm not going to say anything different than that, but I think we just have to have that understanding. Is that going to be an increased ongoing or is it a one time and the support services would be the same? So those are just a few of the technical budgetary questions. So when the sheriff's talking about the portable system, I just keep going back to, we're currently working between emergency services and the sheriff's office on coordinating a kind of a panel and an effort on domestic terrorism. This is from a governor's executive order. And a lot of this has to do with reaching out to the exact organizations and community groups, including religious organizations or those that have experienced an inordinate amount of threats. And that includes active shooter situations and exactly the type of training that the sheriff would engage in when he talks about going in with this portable system into a house of worship, whether it's a synagogue, a mosque, or a church. Like, that is exactly the type of conversation we've been having surrounding the domestic terror EO. So I guess, like, there's part of me which, yeah, of course, like, the better model is the better model and you can get more out of it. And then the other part is that portability could be super useful in a county like this as well. So not understanding both of the price points, but also if we can do road shows, I just feel like we're going to reach a lot of people to go into all parts of this county where they don't always have to just come to us in Kingston, which is always a constant refrain from a lot of the different outlying districts and areas. I just find that there's value in both sides of that part of it. So I hope we wouldn't, I hope we would place some, I guess, higher emphasis on the portability and the ability to go into organizations and meet them where they are practicing their faith or whatever else they're doing, I think is an important value there. So the budget stuff, it's fund balance, guys. So let's figure that part of it out too. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Sheriff.
I just wanted to follow up. That is a one-time price, but there is a maintenance fee every year, of course, like most of these programs and platforms.
So if I may, you know, I agree with Deputy Executive Kelly on the portability component of it. I'm also a little bit uncomfortable, and Gina and I have discussed this about, you know, the kind of making the adjustment at this stage. I wonder if also now your point, I think, is something I hadn't considered, that this is a long procurement process as well. I wouldn't want to delay this. Right. I think that I mean, considering that we see the value of it even alongside the other product, and also that this is, you know, this is rolling and we don't want to delay it. I wonder if a compromise here could be if you would consider Sheriff Figueroa, including and you know, the county executive's team as well, and including this in the 2023 budget, and we can really go to bat for it through the budget process.
Obviously, it depends on Chris Kelly there, but sure.
I think we'll have continued.
No pressure on money.
I think we'll also say
I'll put it in the budget, and we'll see if we can make it work.
Sure.
Well, and I'll say this it could be a budget amendment from the legislature, and I, you know, that would certainly highlight it for the debate that a product of this importance would merit.
Chair, if I may, I think I'm clearly reading the room. It's not hard. So certainly engaging the sheriff in a discussion and seeing the best way to finance efforts like this. I mean, I think Everett can tell you, and I can tell you from personal and professional experience in operations and security, the more you train, the better you'll be at your duties. And the more you train in more realistic scenarios, the better your staff will be. So there's no question as to the value. It's just the how. So whether it's capitalizing it and doing it that way, if it's that expensive, that's typically how we do it. Let's have that discussion. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Great. Legislator Hewitt.
I just wanted to re-ask Sheriff Figueroa, the medium range price comes with a mobile unit also, right?
I have to look into that. I'm not 100% sure. I think the medium one is the three screens. And then the really high end one, it's like completely 360 all the way around, like walking into a room. But I'll get back to you on that. I don't have the answer on that right now.
Well, if we purchase this one this year and put it in the budget for next year, we'll have both.
Absolutely. And we can accomplish both things.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. But I'll just add, if I may, that there's, you know, there's one other aspect to this that I think should not be overlooked, which is that, you know, I think we all recognize that the, you know, folks in law enforcement that are on the road patrol, that are in going out on patrol, have a really hard job. And one of the things that we, you know, that benefits the entire community is improving the relationship between law enforcement and the community. And, you know, you see some of the ways that some of the bad things that have happened in other communities, and that hurts us here too, even if we, you know, even if our folks in law enforcement, you know, aren't individually guilty of that, but it does impact the relationship. And I think it's the responsibility of all of us to try and improve that relationship. So in addition to all the points that we've also made, by showing the public that we're really investing in de-escalation, we're investing in protecting them in an active shooter situation, I think that those are all steps that have the knock-on effect of improving that relationship, which I think is something that universally we agree is a worthy endeavor. So I hope that we can continue having this conversation. And I feel the best, in my opinion, not to insert myself as chair, but in my opinion, the best decision tonight is for us to advance this. And then to know that as this goes through other committees, we absolutely should be having the conversation about the other products and how to round out, you know, this program so that we're doing everything that we can do in these areas, because they're really, you know, really, really critical areas. Any further questions or discussion? Yep, Legislator Hewitt, please.
I don't want to criticize the video too much, but it said this all came about because officers required better training. I just want to point out that the Black Lives Matter movement also inspired this, which the video did touch upon. Okay, thank you, for the record.
Thank you, Legislator Hewitt. I agree completely. All right, any further discussion or questions? Otherwise, I'll call the question on resolution number 427. All those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, resolution number 427 is approved. And that brings us to the end of our resolution agenda. Does anyone have any new business that they'd like to bring forward? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have something.
Deputy Chair Hansen. Yes, go ahead.
Old business, new business, not really sure where this falls. But as chair, have you heard anything on the appraisal for the...
I have not heard anything. I have heard that we're optimistic that so obviously what Deputy Chair Hansen is referring to is the appraisal of the property that is identified as a potential site for the Emergency Operation Government Operations Center in New Paltz that did pass this committee unanimously and is in my, you know, biased opinion, because I'm biased towards the safety of the residents of our county, is the, in my opinion, the best location, because there's no other location that has the redundancies that we have there. But I do not know what the status is of the appraisal. I understand that we're still optimistic that it will be available before Ways and Means. And the first Ways and Means is next week. So, and it's definitely supposed to be complete before session, and which of course is the second Ways and Means. So yeah, go ahead, Gina.
For Deputy Kelly, does it usually take this long? I mean, I know that you don't have the answer, but I'm just for my own reference, because it's going into like 60 days, right? Does it usually take this long for us to get something back?
So thank you for the question. I would say that we also ran into difficulty hiring firms in order to do appraisals on properties. It was not an easy thing for either doing the Enterprise West Tech City one, or when we ordered one for this property, or for the other ones that we purchased. So I believe that we're on our, this is the second firm that I think the legislature is engaged. So I don't know. I mean, it has been difficult. I know that much. I think, are we on 60 or 30 days? When did we postpone this?
It's been postponed twice, I believe, now.
Okay. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we're still on the timeline that I was given most recently, as you know, the timeline hasn't changed since our July session. And I was told that night that it would be hopefully before Ways and Means. And my understanding is that's still the hope. Sheriff Figueroa.
And thank you, Chairman. And I know it's not the area of the sheriff's office, but I will say this, that the emergency management is the responsibility of all of us, including the sheriff. And I will tell you that being in the military, that young guy over my shoulder there, that did logistics and operations for many, many years within the military throughout the world, you never want to have all your apples in one basket. It's astonishing to me that you want to have everything in Kingston, where everything's centrally located. It's like, and I hate to say it, forgive me and all the people that passed away in the past, like Pearl Harbor, when you have everything centralized in one area, it's just not good tactfully for the people of this county and the safety for the people here. And I wish the folks would consider that when they make a determination on what's going on to put emergency management. I think New Paltz, I don't know all the particulars about it. All I know is it's not all in the same area. And as we all know, with the storms that we had and the powers that go down, I'm in the southern part of the county and I don't have as many power issues that the folks up here do. And I think that's important to note and know. So I just wanted to add my point to that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, thank you. So I definitely appreciate the comments. I think also, you know, from this committee, I'm someone that voted for the EOC. I think now we're calling it a GOC, not an EOC. It's a GOC, right, Chris?
Government Operations Center, yeah. Encompasses everything.
So, no, again, and I think, you know, it's not about, I don't think we're politically divided on this. I've toured the 911 center. I've been there, Everett. You know, I've been with you through the fire training center. I'm on the EMS task force with you. Very supportive. I don't think this is a political argument. I think we're doing our work to make sure that we purchase the best property on behalf of the taxpayers as well, because it's significant, and make sure that public safety is a priority. So I don't think it's not a political thing. We can throw political footballs all we want. You know, no offense, Legislator Hansett, but you can call us out, but you know, we're doing
I didn't.
But we're doing our best work on behalf of the taxpayers of Ulster County, which you also, would call us out on, and trying to make sure that we're doing the work that is necessary to make sure public safety is a priority and the taxpayers of Ulster County are protected. So I just want to make that comment.
I don't think anyone, I mean, just if I can jump in, I don't think anyone is accusing anyone else of making it political. And I don't necessarily take your comment, Legislator Heppner, to be accusatory either. I think we all recognize the balance of public safety and public funds. And I certainly appreciate the candor here. Because you were mentioned, Deputy Chair Hansett, I'll let you go next, and then we'll pull in Deputy Exec Kelly.
I asked because as a new legislator, I didn't know how long appraisals usually take. So I was just looking for a reference.
Yep. And I too eagerly await the appraisal. It's certainly not a partisan issue. I think that that's clear. Deputy Executive Kelly.
So I do want to be careful in terms of how we describe value for taxpayers, because it cannot always be just about lowest price or cutting a million or increasing a million, whatever it is. Best value means best value for longevity, for public safety. There's a lot more value that has to be ascribed to projects such as this rather than let's just get the lowest possible price point. I think the sheriff made an excellent point in terms of locating something. So if Kingston gets whacked again by an ice storm, then we have the ability to be somewhere else more resilient or have some redundancy built in geographically. So, you know, best value when we're talking about, I've been engaged with the sheriff's office on best value and lowest bid for his food contract with Trinity Food Services. And honestly, we've seen where that's gotten us. So if we're just looking at that bottom line, we're gonna miss the forest through the trees. Like it becomes an issue where that isn't the best value for the services we're providing. So as a budget person who's done lean times and now other times, I get it. You know, that's always the primary focus of all of us is to make sure we guard the dollars that are given to us. But that value has to be looked at in different ways, I think, especially on the tails of the conversation we just had regarding training for public safety and first responders. It shouldn't be applied any different to where we're locating our 911 and emergency operations center. There is value just in the inherent location, the redundancies, the different parts that come with a property such as that. It may cost us a million more, it may not. So I just think we have to keep that in mind too. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to discuss this further? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Yep, Deputy Chair Hansett.
No, I was motioning to adjourn.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then I'll pass it to you to make that motion.
I'll second it.
All right, we've got a motion to adjourn on the table. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all. I really appreciate it. Good conversations tonight.
Night.
All right.